chance of showers and thunderstorm showers, probably after 10 o'clock in the morning. A high near 76, and there, the forecasters are saying, an 80% chance of wet weather Thursday and Thursday night. Our news time is just about 12:30. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Year Bank studios. Next Year Bank, your hometown community bank. We're at 72 degrees. Dave Mularkey's up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. Can you believe we're a week into May already? May 7th.
Wow.
Wasn't Easter just like last night? and now here we are, a week into May. Coming up later on the program today, we'll have guests from the Young Professionals, Butler County Young Professionals. That's a group that operates under the umbrella of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce. That's later. First, we welcome several guests from the upcoming Butler Little Theater production of Our Town by Thornton Weiler. Let's meet our guests. First of all, Jeff Carey is directing this show. Jeff, it's good to see you.
Oh, good to see you again, Dave.
We see you a lot on stage at the Butler Little Theater. Have you directed there previously?
This is my first foray into directing at Butler Little Theater, and I couldn't have asked for a nicer cast and production crew. It's just, I wouldn't say it's been seamless, but it's been really, been a pleasure to work with these people. I've given them a little bit, and they're taking a lot, and they're building a lot, and they're just really developing a beautiful show.
It opens this weekend, am I correct?
It opens on Friday, and it runs through Saturday, May 18th.
They still have a Sunday matinee at the Little Theater?
Yes, they have a Sunday matinee at 2:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be this Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday matinee, and then all the
following.
Then
we're dark
week
on Monday, and then it picks up Tuesday at 7:30. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are 7:30 start times. Friday and Saturdays are 8 p.m. start times.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's meet some members of the cast who are with us here. We say hello to John Silbert. John, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Dave.
Also with us here in the studio is Arianna O'Donnell. Arianna, good to see you again.
Good to see you again.
You were with us last year, right?
Yeah.
And a friend of long-standing, Rodney Gash, is also here. Rod, good to see you.
Good to see you, Dave. Good to be back.
This play is a little bit unusual. I'll ask you about it first, Jeff, since you're the director. Thornton Wilder, who wrote the play, uses some, I guess we would say, non-theatrical devices. I mean, it's not a typical play.
And as I would, like, we talk about a lot in rehearsal and just in general notion of the show, I feel it's a very maligned show with that lack of scenery and lack of props. And it also gets put into that category of just being a high school show. Mm-hmm. But it was considered in 1938, whenever it was written and performed, to be avant-garde. And now, with modern theater steamrolling through the 21st century, it seems kind of tame as far as being off the rails from regular theater. But what it presents is it just strips it down to the bare story, and it focuses on the life cycle of these people in this town, and it just really shows the beauty of the tale being told.
I'm anxious to see it because I don't think I've read this play since I was in high school. It was in my American literature class. I'm guessing, John, that that's the first time most of you encountered our town. You read it in American Lit, you know?
Exactly right. And the moment I read that play, I think maybe I was in sixth grade. I can't remember. But from that point on, I just fell in love with the play itself and what it was talking about and the questions it was raising. And then as I have seen it performed in a variety of contexts, mostly in that very minimalist way, it just unleashes your imagination. And that's the part, I think, where we take it and run with it, is it's as big as our imaginations will allow it to be big, or as intimate as we want to make it intimate. And that's just a wonderful thing for an actor.
Now, you play the narrator, right, John?
Yep.
Again, this is a little bit unusual. It's not unheard of. It's the Broadway musical Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat has a narrator to kind of guide the story along. Yeah. Is that the job of your character, the narrator?
Yeah, I think he has a... I was trying to come up with a word for it. He's not. It's not a God's eye view, because he's asking those questions that a lot of us are asking deep down. So it's not really one who knows it all, but it is a comprehensive view of what goes on in this sphere of Grover's Corners, New Hampshire. And within that context, he just knows all that's been happening and what is happening. But then he is raising those questions that any of us would raise wherever we live and whatever our situation is.
Grover's Corners, New Hampshire, Arianna. It's a fictional town, right? Get a little closer to that mic for me.
It's
good.
It's based off of a real town in New Hampshire.
Oh, really?
Which kind of lends to the small town America feel of the show. It's not something that's just pegged down into 1901. It's a timeless thing. So you create the town in your mind. And Grover's Corners is kind of an unspoken character in the show.
It sounds like, a classic American town, Grover's Corners. It's kind of like River City in Music Man. You know? You can readily identify with
that.
Trouble
in Grover's Corners.
Yeah.
Starts, trouble with a capital G.
It starts with P and it rhymes with P. And it's cool. So I didn't realize that Wilder based it on a real town in New Hampshire.
That's kind of a good way of making it personal to everyone, because if you put something in a small town, USA, it's more relatable to the person who goes and sees a play. Mm-hmm. They can envision it back to, like, small town Butler. Like, it's a small town. Everybody's connected in some way. And that's another personal aspect to his playwriting.
What part do you play, Arianna?
I play the part of Mrs. Webb. She is the mother of the main female character. The play centers around two families in Grover's Corners, as the narrator narrates, and how the son and the daughter of each family come together, and then their lives intertwine through that. So I play Emily's mother.
So one of the families is the Webbs?
The Webbs, and the other family is the Gibbs.
Mm-hmm. That could get confusing. The Webbs, the Gibbs, the Webbs, the Gibbs.
It has been, Dave.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I did a show once many, many years ago. I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head. But there were four of us on the cast, and we played 16 different characters. And every man's name started with a W.
Oh, no.
It was Willie, Walter, and... We never knew who we were when we came up.
What a headache.
More than once, we got the wrong name.
Well, I'll tell you, Dave, the one rehearsal, I wanted to get Mrs. Webb and Mrs. Gibbs the old Laverne and Shirley sweaters that had a G and a W on it. And they were called each other's names.
Oh, several times.
Half dozen times.
Let me talk with Rodney Gash here for a moment. First of all, Rodney, what part do you play?
I have two roles. In the first act, I play Professor Willard, who comes on to tell a little bit of the story of the town, but he looks at it as an academic fact person and talks about the geology and some of the history. And what Thornton Wilder wants to get us two is to talk about think about the people. And so I'm not on very long. The professor is promptly dismissed at some point after he wants to talk about geology and the watershed and not the kind of the facts of and not kind of the structure of the people. And then second act, there's a cemetery scene, and I play a dead person. And this, I really feel, is a kind of sign of where my acting career has gone from, you know, when you're young, you hope to play the leading man, and then you get cast as the grumpy uncle, and, you know, now I'm in the cemetery, so this may be the end, I'm not sure.
Got 1 foot in the grave, so to speak. I last remember you, I don't know whether I missed any performances or not, but in Inherit the Wind, is that right?
Yes, I played the kind of wild, crazy preacher who brings down damnation on the person who is teaching evolution in the high school. So,
well, you were strong in that part.
Oh,
that was
thank
a good
you.
Show, by the way. That's going to be two, three years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have in this cast almost like a reassembling of the Avengers here with many cast members from Inherit the mm-hmm. Wind, including Rodney, Steve Fogel. Mm-hmm. Who else was in that? Well, Bob Meals is mm-hmm. in the show, and he directed mm-hmm. it. So it's kind of a combining of old shows and new shows.
Yes. Now, as I remember, and as I said, it's been a while since I read this play. There's the Webb family, and the daughter that would be your daughter is Emily, right?
Yes, I have two children, Emily and Wally.
And then for the other family, there's the boy, and his name is
George, and then he has a younger sister, Rebecca.
And then later in the play, second act, I guess, Emily and George get married, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Big wedding scene.
Mm-hmm. A beautiful wedding scene, too. And the thing that directly precedes that is the flashback scene, and the stage manager sets it up beautifully about, we want to see how this all happened, how they find out that they were quote-unquote meant for each other. And it starts a beautiful flashback scene into a soda shop where they fell in love, and then it directly goes into the wedding, and then that's how the second act ends.
See, this is exciting to be able to do this live on stage. Mm-hmm. If it's in a movie, you know, you dissolve, you mm-hmm. have some fog that comes up, or, you know, whatever. But to do it live on stage, it requires, I'm guessing, some pretty good lighting cues.
Some good strategic movement of the little bit of furniture that we do have, and just total change in character too.
See, I'm a big believer in this in live theater. Mm-hmm. I think that you should engage the audience, make them feel that they have a stake in the show, and let them use their imagination, you know. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
You're okay. It's a good use of the word imagination, because with there being no scenery, each audience member will have a different perception of the show mm-hmm. every time, because John sets up the scene of the town, but it's the audience's job to imagine what everything looks like to them. So there is kind of the bare bones skeleton of a house, kitchens, the church where the wedding takes place. But in their heads, they construct what they perceive Gurner's Quarters to look like. So it is very immersive in that way for them.
Mm-hmm. And just to build off of what Arianna was saying and what John alluded to earlier about this show lets your imagination be as big as it can be. I've seen this show now, directing it 30 times in rehearsal now, building up to this point. And I also directed it years ago at my high school. That was my first experience directing ever. So I've seen it around that many times, and I would have to say that even though I'm really used to it, in about 2 minutes that expectation of seeing scenery melts away and your mind starts to take over and mm-hmm. it fills in the gaps and it comes alive.
I think what you said earlier, Jeff, about being able to appreciate this play as an adult mm-hmm. when many folks first encountered it when they were, you know, in junior high school, let's say, or certainly high school, it's a lot different. I mean, when you're an adult, and you know, you're watching some characters early in a play, and then in the last act, some of them are dead. It's a lot easier to relate to that than it is when you're 14 years old. Rod, would you agree?
Yes, certainly. And one of the things, you know, we've talked about the history of the play, the initial setting is 1901, but it really plays well to a modern audience. One of the main characters, Emily, talks about how people are shut up in their little boxes. Well, doesn't that describe social media and our iPhones, you know? I mean, go to a restaurant and everybody's looking at their phone and not interacting. And that's one of the things about, man, we're here such a short time. How do we interact with our loved ones? And I think it also plays well because they're strong women. And I think in the play, the two mothers are really strong characters. And that helps make the play feel very modern, even though it was written in 1938 and portrays a time at the turn of the century.
When we get to the end, and we're not going to reveal the whole denouement here, but is it the narrator's responsibility to let the audience know who's dead now?
Yeah, actually, there's that third act or that third scene. I'm walking the grounds of Grover's Corners Cemetery, which is up on a mountain, up on a hill. And I'm pointing out both the oldest stones from 1670 and 1680. I'm also bringing people to where there are some Civil War veterans buried. And then I say, this here is the new part of the cemetery, you know, and I go over and I start naming then each of those characters they've known.
From earlier
in the show, right.
Well, and this must be, that's kind of sad then, right? This.
There's a line that one of the dead characters says that I think is really wonderful. And she's actually thinking about childbirth, and she says, "Wasn't life awful and wonderful?" Huh. And it's that juxtaposition of the extraordinarily difficult and hard and the things that bring quandary and then these wonderful moments, you know, and it's as simple as smelling the heliotrope that's just effusing through Mrs. Gibbs' lawn that gets wafted up to the second stairs where Emily in her house is smelling it herself. And, you know, those things that are so simple, so basic to who we are as human beings, and but always, always tinged with a little bit of sadness, sure.
And just to interject here, I view it as being more cathartic at the end rather than sad. Because this whole play is telling the cycle of everything that starts and everything that ends and then everything that starts again. And it's one of those things where it hurts. And even John's lines at the beginning of scene three in the cemetery is that these people are going to say things that might upset you. But they need to be said, and this is part of this cycle. And the thing is they might say things that upset you, but they might say things that make you happy, like that the juxtaposition in that line. And I just think it's a well-rounded scene at the end of the play. It's horrific, and it's beautiful, and it's sad, and it's just relieving at the same time.
Arianna, it looked like you wanted to say something here.
Something that stuck with me from the beginning of rehearsals is that Jeff told all of us that no matter what, we need to be as human as possible in how we act. And I don't know why that stuck with me, but it really plays into what the two of them have said. Whether it's happy, sad, it hurts, makes you laugh, it's a human thing. And if we can't embrace it for what it is, being human, then what does this play take away? So that's one of my favorite things about this whole process is just embracing being human and seeing that realness on stage when that's all that's there to look at.
You know, Wilder writes in a way that makes the voices speaking authentic. And you think about that, you hear it, and you hear them. Mrs. Webb and Mrs. Gibbs are talking together, and the things they're talking about, and how they talk about those things, they're just very true. And Rodney has these lines in The Grave where he's talking about the stars. My boy was a sailor, and he looked at the stars, and he can tell it, speak for it himself, but it just seems so... That's the language, that's the voice of someone that would say those things.
Rodney, a little bit of almost ghost-like here, because at the tail end of the play, you're speaking from the dead.
Yes, and I think that's really true, the beauty of the language. One of John's favorite lines, when he's kind of talking about the cemetery, he says, what a beautiful place, and we're coming up here when our fit is over. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't say our time is over, our fit, and that's sort of like, isn't that sort of the struggle of life? It's a bit of a fit, you know, joy, sunrise, sunset. It's really beautiful, and his use of words and the conversational is wonderful.
You know, when you think about all this, these things that we've talked about, Thornton Wilder was brilliant when he wrote this play. Brilliant.
If I may, not give the history lesson of Thornton Wilder, but this was his second of his three Pulitzer Prizes that he won for Our Town. And he won in 1928 for his novel The Bridge of San Luis Rey, which is brilliant. It's kind of like a predecessor to Six Degrees of Separation. It's different tales about this collapse of the bridge, and then it's told from all these perspectives of the people who died on that bridge, and it's including flashback, and it's just brilliant. Our Town is the quintessential American little town cycle of life kind of tale. And then The Skin of Our Teeth, he won in 1942 the Pulitzer Prize for that. That is a complete departure from these two other stories. It tells the tale of a family named the Antrobus family, and it's almost like an end of times kind of tale where it's very avant-garde, where scenery flies away, a dinosaur leans in the window and says words, and that it's just very odd. And how different each one of those stories is, as far as they're stylistically different. And usually whenever you have a Pulitzer Prize winner who wins multiple ones, they have similarity in style and topic. They are so opposite or different from each other. It's amazing how he can write that different of a style, but have that common thread of humanity and beauty that pervades through it.
I don't know the entire history of the Pulitzer Prize, but there can't be too many people who have won three Pulitzer.
No, I can't imagine.
Quick break, a few more minutes to chat with our guests. Our Town opens this Friday night at the Butler Little Theater, and you can call the theater for ticket reservations, or you can do it online, which I guess most people are doing these days.
Yes.
About our little theater, BLT Group.
BLTgroup.org.
Okay, I couldn't remember the web address, BLTgroup.org. One of our sponsors on the program today is Schnoor's Greenhouse, family-owned and operated since 1889. It's not 1989, that's 1889. Schnoor's Greenhouse, that's right. They're celebrating 130 years in business. How about that? Located off Herman Road, look for Schnoor Road near the RC Men's Club. Very friendly service, very knowledgeable staff, and they specialize in annuals, beautiful flowers, just about anyone you can think of. They've got it. Hanging baskets, great for Mother's Day, incidentally, for Mom. Also vegetable plants, too. Tremendous selection from which to choose. They offer gift cards, too, if you think that might work for Mom. Schnoor's Greenhouse, off Herman Road. Look for Schnoor Road near the RC Men's Club. They're Butler's longtime trusted greenhouse. Long time indeed, since 1889. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8. Saturday, 8 to 5. And Sundays, 11 to 5. Schnoor's Greenhouse. We'll be right back.
If you're struggling to find a gym that's right for you, try the Fitness Center at Applewood Chiropractic. You don't have to be a chiropractic patient, and it's the only executive-level fitness center in Butler. Open 7 days a week, the fitness center provides a clean, safe, unintimidating environment with modern equipment, fitness classes, and a full-time staff to assist you. Call 724-283-8894 or visit applewoodchiro.com. Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Thornapple Drive, Butler.
Welcome back. We're talking with several cast members from the upcoming Butler Little Theater production of Our Town. And director Jeff Carey is here as well. Let me ask a little bit of our guests. First of all, John Silbert, have you done other stuff at the Little Theater before?
This is my first time with BLT Group. And I've had a very lovely reception by everybody. It's been a lot of fun playing with them. I've done a lot of local community theater in places like Benavon, Ambridge, in the Comptra in Cranberry. I'm a resident of Zelia Noble. I'm a pastor here in town. And so I've done a lot of theater. And I also teach at Robert Morris University as an adjunct. And
how do you have time to learn lines?
Well, it's been a challenge. This play, it's funny, it's a different set of lines. I was on Golden Pond this fall at Iron Horse Theater Company and played the part of Henry Fonda. Henry Fonda's role from the movie, but Norman Thayer Jr. And lots of lines, but they're all dialogue. And so it's utterly they're utterly dependent on each other.
Depends on what Katharine Hepburn says.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Whereas in this play, it's a story that has to be unfolded and told. And it's just a very different memorization.
What do you use for costumes, Ariana? Just as you mentioned so eloquently, normal people?
It's very period costuming. I honestly think this is one of my favorite costume shows because everybody just looks so cohesive. Mm-hmm. It's very plain colors.
And it's set in the early 1900s,
yeah, right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, 1901 is when this mm-hmm. starts. So there's a lot of beige. There's a lot of brown. Mm-hmm. There's black. The wedding is probably the most colorful. And by colorful, I mean I wear blue and the other mother wears purple. So that's about as colorful as it gets beyond your imagination.
Do you have a lot of quick costume changes? Or?
No, I'm very blessed with that. There's really only two or three of us that have costume changes during the actual run of the show. Everything else can take place at intermission.
Mm-hmm. Rodney, it's amazing that a play that was written, I'm not quite sure when he wrote it, but it was first produced in 1938, and it still resonates today.
That is amazing, and that takes a special kind of set of chemistry to make that happen. Part of that is talking about these universal values of relationships with people, the strength of families. That's all really prominent in this play, and the role of parents. You really see the parents guiding their children as they blossom from teenage to being a young married couple.
Hmm. Family, kids, life, death, eternity.
It has it all.
There's a lot of stuff that he squeezed into this play. Huh?
He did. Yeah. And speaking of family, we have family connections in the cast. We have a couple. The woman who's playing Mrs. Gibbs, Danielle Jacobson, she and her daughter are in the play together, her daughter Rory. And then we have a pair of brothers playing smaller roles, Jim and Josh Brenneman. And they come from Slippery Rock. And then we have a family of Zeno and Sophia and Madison. And I didn't expect that many families to show up and audition for the show, but it totally fits, and people of all ages make it look really well-rounded and real, mm-hmm. where it's not just like all 20-somethings or in a high school production where you have all 16-year-olds playing mm-hmm. a 90-year-old guy or a 5-year-old. So it looks real and, like Ariana said, human.
Yeah. And it's fairly large cast because there's a lot of townspeople.
We have 19
portrayed.
People.
19?
Yes.
Wow. That is a lot.
And something the audience might not think of, it's a crowded dressing room when you have all those people.
That's for sure. Yeah, very crowded. You have to dress in shifts. Huh?
That's right.
Okay. First call for makeup, second call for makeup. Well, I'm anxious to see it. As I said, I haven't read this. I don't remember the last time that I saw it. I've seen it once or twice. It's been a long time since I read it, so I'm anxious to see it. Mm-hmm. Our Town. It's an American classic by American playwright Thornton Wilder. And it's at the Butler Little Theater. Opens this weekend. I'm sure there are still tickets available, so you can get online at bltgroup.org or call the Little Theater evenings between 7 and 9, I think. There's still
play into the phone. Do you need the number?
I have the number if you'd like it.
Yes,
724-287-6781, and all seats are $13, and there's not a bad seat in the house.
That's true. The furthest you'll be from the stage is seven rows back, because that's how many rows there are at the Butler Little Theater. Well, thank you, John, Ariana, Rodney, and Jeff. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. A quick break, and then we'll be back to talk with some members of the Butler County Young Professionals who will be here on the next segment of It's Your Turn. Stick around. Back in just a couple of minutes.
Are you sick of chronic pain and all that goes with it? You are eligible for your medical marijuana card. How do you get your card without the hassle? Compassionate Certification Centers for your medical marijuana card or CBD visit. Visit cccregister.com. That's cccregister.com or call 888-316-9085 today. Compassionate Certification Centers can help you get your medical marijuana card and connect you with certified doctors that can answer all of your questions.
In 2019, Tri-Rivers celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
I'm Dr. Scott Rainey, an orthopedic back and neck surgeon at Tri-Rivers. Whether I'm in the office treating patients for conditions such as cervical or lumbar stenosis, or in the operating room performing innovative procedures like disc replacements, I'm proud to care for patients in the Butler community. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Choices, decisions, quality health care. These are important issues that really hit home. It's a good thing that Concordia Visiting Nurses is here to help. Home health care can help you or your loved one recuperate from an illness, manage a chronic disease, or recover from an injury or operation right in your own home. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
We sit, we chat, we educate. It's a program we call Let's Talk. Experts in and around Butler share their knowledge on real estate, natural health options, food, medical issues, jobs, family, and so much more. We're live on the radio, online on our website, and on the free app in your smartphone, also on Alexa-powered devices. Missed a program? Well, catch the segments online at WISR680.com. I ask the questions, they get to answer, and you get the benefit. Join me, Tracy Morgan, on Let's Talk weekday mornings at 11:15 on WISR 680 AM.
Welcome back, good friends. We welcome several members of the Butler County Young Professionals, a group that operates under the umbrella of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce. And the president of the chamber is here, Stan Kosciuszko.
Grandpa Kosciuszko.
Good to see you, Stan.
Nice to be back. Look how sunny it is out there.
Yeah, it's a nice day.
Yeah.
I hate to bring you inside this studio where there are no windows on such a gorgeous day.
They're going to have a meeting at Anna Maria's Winery afterwards. You're welcome to join them.
Oh.
They'll be outside. Out on the patio.
Will there be wine?
Perhaps.
There better be.
When you hear what they're doing, they have a lot of planning to do, so they'll probably be there late.
Well, the wine may help that out, too. Let's meet our other guests, all members of the Young Professionals, Jordan Grady. Jordan, good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Thank you for having us.
Also, Kristen Kane is here from Anna Marie's Winery. You're the manager out there, right?
Yeah. I'm in charge of all the events out there.
Good to see you.
Likewise.
And Adriana Bly is here as well. She is the manager of the new Spring Hills Suites in the Butler Center City. A hotel that's going strong, at least it seems to me. I don't know, every time I go by, there are buses and stuff there. Yeah.
We are very busy. We're doing very well. Thank you.
Yeah. So, what's up, Jordan, with the young professionals? What do you got coming up here?
Well, we got a lot of things coming up. Next Thursday, we're at Lake Arthur Golf Course. That'll be our third Thursday event in May. There's going to be appetizers provided. There'll be a putting contest, cornhole tournament. And anyone who wants to golf before the event can do so at a discounted rate. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of upcoming events coming up. I'll let Chris and Adriana explain more of what we got coming in the future. But looking forward to Lake Arthur. It's one of Butler County's finest golf courses. It's in unbelievable conditions. I was out there playing yesterday, so we're really looking forward to that one.
They have some of the fastest greens, I can guarantee you that.
The greens are beautiful. They are in phenomenal shape.
Mm-hmm. The last time I played there, I putted off one of the greens. I was greatly embarrassed until all of my playing partners did it later in the round. Yeah, very easy. What else is coming up, Kristen? In the near term or the far term future for the young professionals?
Well, in June, on the third Thursday, June 20th, we will be having our mixer at Anna Marie's Winery, mm-hmm. 5:30.
And what day was that again?
Thursday, June 20th.
Okay. Can you join the young professionals at any time if you qualify, Stan? Or?
You could actually, join at any time. If it's a chamber member business, there's no fee to join.
Mm-hmm.
And what the young professionals have done this year is they've invited chamber members and other businesses to join them for their mixers because they have events in between. They do other types of functions. So they want, as they put it, they want the old guard to meet the new guard. And so it's a nice idea. So if you're out there and you don't think you're young, you probably are. You know, age is in your mind.
Jordan is currently, are you still in the leadership class at Butler County?
Yes, I am.
That should be wrapping up pretty soon, shouldn't it?
Yes, we have three more sessions. We have Tourism Day this Thursday, and it has been a great experience, a great opportunity. Very fortunate to be selected to be a part of it.
It's a great time for a Tourism Day. This is National Tourism Week.
National
Did you
Tourism
know that?
Week, yeah. And that's why we're going to have our mixer at the Butler Little Theater, because Thursday is the dress rehearsal. So mm-hmm. we have a cocktail party there that's sponsored by Heffron Tillotson. And they'll have food and drink, and then we all get to stay and see the dress rehearsal. And when you've had a few beers and a few glasses of wine, the dress rehearsals are always much better because we get very interactive. But we have probably over 100 people coming, so it'll be packed out there.
Well, I just had, you saw the guests going out for the first segment, cast members from the show, Our Town. Anybody remember that from high school?
I do. We read the play, watched the movie. It was junior year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The play from last year was more of a comedy, so this is a little different. But those plays are always very interesting and very well put together. It's really cool to see something like that in Butler.
Well, this is not really heavy stuff, but it's not like Streetcar Named Desire. It's a think piece.
Yeah, it won't make you cry, but it'll make you think.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a great show.
Yeah, it is.
You'll enjoy it. So that's coming up day after
and
tomorrow.
And it's all local. That's the day after tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's no fee to attend. If somebody wants to make a reservation, you still have time. Just call the chamber.
Jordan is from the Alliance for Nonprofit Resources. What is that, by the way, Jordan?
So we offer management services for-profit and nonprofit entities. I oversee our credit card processing division, Credit Gives. That's my role specifically, where we build in charitable givebacks and transactions ran at merchants that have chosen to process their payments with us.
Where is the Alliance located?
It's right in downtown, the old Huntington Bank building, attached right to the Rite Aid, big A hanging off the corner. Mm-hmm. Can't miss it.
That's the same building where the community college has its downtown presence?
Yes. We have a partnership with BC3. Mm-hmm.
By the way, Jordan would not mention this, but I will. Just a week or so ago, he was presented with the Distinguished Service Award Junior Recipient, right?
Yes, it was.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. It was definitely an honor, and it was a great evening and night. Country Club did a phenomenal job, and really from start to finish, the whole process was just a really good experience.
It's quite an honor when you look back at the at the list of past winners, you know?
Yeah, I joined a pretty amazing group. I'm very fortunate to be a part of it.
Yeah. So, Kristen, are you in the running for this next year?
Oh, I have no idea.
Tell us a little bit about Anna Maria's Winery. I've been there. Is it connected to the restaurant? Is it a separate business or what?
The winery is actually in a separate building. It's right behind the restaurant. So we make all the wines on site. We have over 30 different varieties. And as far as the menu goes, we specialize in Italian cuisine, pastas, fresh dough pizzas, and all kinds of other Italian
specialties. Well, now, wait a minute. I've eaten at Anna Maria's, and it looks like you could buy wine at the front of the building, or the you know, where you go in and you wait to be seated.
Yeah, you can sample, you can buy. You can go outside. Our pavilion is open at this point in the year now.
Okay, but the winery itself is behind that?
Yeah, we make the wine in the building behind. We're actually bottling today. We were bottling our new batch of Niagara.
Is that a grape?
It's a kind of wine.
Kind of wine?
Yeah.
Can
yeah,
people
it's
go
a, it's
in?
A sweet white.
Can people take tours of the winery? Can you go in there?
Not typically. We don't offer that at this time, but maybe someday in the future.
Mm-hmm. Like at our mixer in June.
Yes, we will be giving it tours at our mixer in June. We're actually going to do some wine pairing, a little sample of that. So we'll be pairing different wines with appetizers, a little bite of an entree, and a little bit of dessert.
So what goes good with this, you know, mm-hmm. like that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Okay, also coming up this fall, I guess, will be... You're going to be collecting Halloween costumes again?
We are, yes. This will be our fourth year of collecting Halloween costumes for Ghouls for Good.
And what happens to the costumes?
Well, we set up a little store at the Cubs Hall this year.
That is correct.
And kids that are enrolled in the Kids Weekend Backpack Program or Children and Youth Services are able to come and shop with a voucher that we give to their teachers. And, you know, we've given costumes to probably over, I would say, 500 yeah. kids. We've collected about 1,000 costumes since we started doing this.
Hmm. Let's talk a little bit with Adriana. Both you and Kristen are graduates, right, of the leadership class?
Yes.
Just move that microphone over a little bit there for her, yeah.
Yes, I graduated last year from the leadership program.
Valuable experience?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I learned so much. Growing up in Butler, kind of take things for granted, but whenever you get to go tour and learn about each business, it's an amazing opportunity.
How long have you been affiliated with Marriott?
I have worked there since we opened. We opened a year ago in April, and I've worked for different Marriott hotels in the area for 9 years.
I talked with someone a couple of weeks ago who had not been in the hotel since it opened, and I kind of gushed a little bit. You know, I said, you ought to just stop in and look around. I said, it's amazing when you, even in your lobby, you step in and it's hard to believe you're in downtown Butler.
I appreciate that. We get a lot of people that say that. It's very modern, and you don't expect to see that in downtown Butler. I invite anybody to come in for a tour at any time. We're open and glad to do that. And we still are trying to get the word out there that we're open, and I appreciate you telling me that.
And you have meetings and stuff there, right? And people have... working meetings there?
Yeah, so we have a meeting space that holds up to 15 people, so it's good for different trainings and events. And then Friday morning coffee clubs are held there besides the last week of the month where we travel. But it's held at the hotel. We offer breakfast, and you know that's welcome for business professionals of the chamber to come to and network.
You know, there were some people when plans were announced for that hotel that said, what? A hotel downtown? They expect to make money on that? Huh. What did they know, huh?
We had a lot of naysayers before we opened, and we're having fun kind of proving that wrong. So we're doing well.
It's also much bigger than I expected inside. I don't know whether that's just me, but even having been there and stayed there, actually, during the power outage last November. I think when I was on the third day without power, I said, that's it, baby, I'm going to a hotel.
Yeah.
It just seems much bigger inside than it does outside.
It truly does. So before, whenever they just had the gravel lot with the parking meters,
yeah.
I never realized. I was like, how are they going to put a hotel here? This is never going to work.
With that many rooms.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a swimming pool.
Mm. Yep. And it works out, and it's great.
Terrific.
I'm always surprised, too.
Are you involved with any of these programs we've been talking about with the young professionals here on your own?
Yeah, I help out with the Third Thursday Mixers, and then so for Goals for Good every year, we all volunteer for that. And then with in August, our mixer for the young professionals, it's actually going to be on the 15th. It's going to be at the 11th frame, and we're going to have a basket auction that night and a 50-50. So all of that money raised will go back to Goals for Good also to get more Halloween costumes.
So when do you get kicked out of the young professionals? What's the magic age where you're no longer eligible?
Well, you have to tick the board off, and then they kick you out. The average age, just ballpark, for the young professionals is between 25 and 45, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some of them stay on. And
how did this start? Was this your idea, Stan?
It started 11 years ago. They're in their 11th year. And it actually was started by Larry Summers from C.W. Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Jocelyn was on the board of directors. Lisa was up and coming, doing things. And one day Larry said, you know, we have so many chamber events, but there's really nothing geared towards people my and Lisa's age. Why don't we start something? And so I investigated a little bit, and a couple chambers had tried starting young professional groups. So I told Larry, go ahead, if you want to start it, let's give it a shot and see how it works. And he recruited some other people to help him out, of course, Lisa and Kenny Bonus at the time. Who else? Kristen?
Chris.
You were one of the original
Angela
kids.
McGee, Julie Sacraponte, Mike Lisakowski were on the original board.
Those were the original. And Angela McGee was the manager at the country club.
Yes, at the time.
So she said, we'll have our first big party at the country club. Well, who doesn't want to go to the country club and play trivia and have an open bar? So we had a lot of people come to our first event. This group decided they didn't want to be just a party group. Mm-hmm. It's important, and the chamber knows that networking is extremely important. That's how you meet people that you will ultimately do business with. But this group wanted to do something a little bit more. So they had some training sessions. They had a session on life insurance, investments, and then they got into doing the Goals for Good for nonprofits. They've been involved in the backpack program. They did a fundraiser for the backpack program. And so from there, it turned into a large arm of their charter is volunteerism as well as networking. So we're probably the longest continuous young professional group, I would say, in the state of Pennsylvania. Many have tried to copy us. Few have succeeded. The reason they haven't succeeded is that we don't have the group of business people. They don't have the group of business people that we do. They also did not have a leadership program. A lot of these other chambers have just started leadership programs. So what happens is my leadership program feeds into a lot of other organizations. It feeds into United Way board, different nonprofit boards, and my board of directors is probably 60% leadership alumni. And from there, they get involved in a whole variety of things. So they're all involved in a lot of things. AM Rotary Club, they're involved in, Kristen coordinated the Carved in Ice this year, which was an unbelievable fundraiser. So they've just been doing a myriad of things.
What's the backpack program? Can anybody give us a little rundown on that? Adriana?
So they actually will get donations of food at the local elementary school. I know McQuiston does it. And then the kids who are unfortunate that don't have food over the weekends, they'll put the food in their backpack so none of the other kids have to see you and, you know, make fun of them or anything, and mm-hmm. they'll have food for the weekends.
So kids from needy families don't have to just yeah. rely on peanut butter sandwiches all weekend.
What they found is that a lot of the kids are on free or reduced lunch. Most of them are on free. Mm. So they get breakfast and lunch at school.
But the last meal, a nutritious meal.
Yeah. Sure. The last meal a lot of them were eating was Friday at lunch. They didn't get another meal till Monday when they came back to school. So the teachers realized this. Now, Audrey Muscatello Yost, who received the DSA award in the senior category, is one of the proponents of the backpack program. And I think she said that they've been supplying 300 food for children, and the teachers actually pack their backpacks on Friday, and they have a breakfast and lunch for Saturday and for Sunday, and then they'll have a meal when they go back.
Great program. Yeah,
it's an unbelievable program, and it's a need in Butler County that people, you know, certain people put their head in the sand. They don't think it exists, but there is a whole segment of the population out there that we can't ignore. It exists in Butler County. So
take a quick break. Talk more with our guests in just a moment or so. One of our sponsors on the program today is Butler Motor Tours, online at butlerbus.com. Boy, they have some great vacation ideas, whether you have the time or the funds to get away for just a day or two, or maybe a week or two. They've got a trip coming up in mid-June on the Titusville Railroad. It's a one-day excursion. That's a great thing. Take that train down through the Oil Creek Valley. Very scenic, very nice. They're also taking a trip in late June to Niagara Falls. When's the last time you were at Niagara Falls? That is a three-day trip. They're going to Maine for a trip into New England. Beautiful place in the summertime. That's in late June. In July, a trip to the Noah's Ark. It's a relatively new tourist attraction. It's in northern Kentucky. It's just across the Ohio River from Cincinnati. The Creation Museum is there also. How about a trip to Branson for a summer show tour? Branson in Missouri, that's in mid-July. And many other trips, too. Take a look at their website. All the trips are there, the dates, the itinerary, the cost, and everything. ButlerBus.com. It's easy to remember their website, ButlerBus.com. Butler Motor Tours, South Monroe Street in Butler. They've been around for more than 75 years. We will be back right after this.
On May 21st, there's a very important election for a new judge in the Butler County Court of Common Pleas. This is Attorney Wink Robinson. If elected as judge, I pledge that I will perform my duties impartially, with competency, and independent from outside influences. The dignity of the court will be maintained. Your confidence will never be a cause for concern. I have 30 years of courtroom experience with the patience and legal skills to apply the law in a fair yet firm manner. Please elect me to be your next judge on Tuesday, May 21st. Paid for by William Wink Robinson.
Attention seafood lovers. Crab legs are back on Fridays at Michael's Restaurant, and it's time to think about pampering mom on Mother's Day. Make her feel special by taking her to Michael's Restaurant. On Sundays, Michael's Restaurant features stuffed chicken breast, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more. Groups of six or larger, please make reservations.
Welcome back. Several guests with us who are members of the Butler County Young Professionals. Also with us is Dan Kosciuszko, the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce. Is the Young Professionals a big group? What's a ballpark figure about how many you have? Is it 25? Is it 500? Or?
We have over 500 members on our email list and our Facebook page and growing seamlessly every day.
I had no idea. Was that
Facebook's
big?
Actually, it's a big group.
Yeah, it's a big group. 800 on the Facebook page. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we encourage chamber members to send, people from their staff, from their office, at least to network and meet other like-minded people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you hear people say there's nothing to do in Butler, there's nothing to do in Butler. We'll come and network with people, like-minded people. Their last mixer that they had at Reclamation was, he said it was one of the biggest nights he ever had down at that location. And they're fun. It's fun. We had, as you know, the first one we had this year we did with the young lawyers. We did that at the Lindora Hotel, and it was jam-packed. So they want to do another one with us. We'll wait till after the elections, and then we'll do that.
So you have your mixers, Jordan, on a regular basis then?
Once a month on the third Thursday. I think one of the things that we've worked to do is, and Stan mentioned this earlier, you know, we do provide the networking opportunities and the social scene, but we're real involved in the volunteer aspect of things. Obviously, with the Ghouls for Good in August, we're going to be maintaining a Veterans Memorial Garden in Boyers. So we like to pick up service projects, get out in the community, make sure they know that, you know, we're actively supporting the areas we serve. And we're also looking to get back to the educational piece that they once did, whether it be through serving on nonprofit board seminars, etiquette lunches, and things along that lines, things that we think that young professionals really need to learn before they dive right into it. So that's something that we've explored in the future. We're hoping to maybe expand on that.
How would you pick up a project like in Boyers? I mean, did somebody suggest this?
Well, you know, it really takes a village. We have a board member who works at the mines, and she brought it to our attention. Really, we have a great group of young professionals that really work together, and we try to get things done. And she brought this to our attention. We talked about it at one of our board's meetings. Stan liked the idea, and we decided to take it on.
And it also, Kristen, it gives you a chance to show off your place of business. You
know? It sure does.
Bring some other people there that maybe not been there before, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you not only get to network, but give people a chance to visit places mm-hmm. that maybe they've never been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all about promotion. You know, that's what the Chamber does. We want our members to be successful. And so by bringing people into their place of business, then they'll be successful. One of the things that Adriana has been real slick at doing since she's the manager at the Spring Hill is she sponsors the coffee club every Friday. So every Friday morning, and you've been there for their buffet?
I have.
Buffet.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
It is.
Very good.
They didn't make any money on me that day, I'll tell you that.
Every Friday, business people from Butler County, and you don't have to be a chamber member. We encourage chamber members to bring non-members. But for an hour, they network. They look at different solutions. They talk about their place of business. They get a free breakfast. And then Adriana gives them all a voucher. They can park in the parking garage for free. The other thing she's done is she's hosted our Sandler training. Mm. And Dan Hudock has been on your show before with me. So three times a year, they have an all-morning-long Sandler training. And that's hosted by the Spring Hill Suites. So Adriana knows that by bringing these business people in, let's say somebody's having a wedding, a graduation party, a bar mitzvah, whatever, they're going to say, we were at that Spring Hill Suites. It was pretty nice. Adriana, can you book us a floor? And so, you know, she's helping the chamber because I don't have to pay for these meetings. She's helping the Spring Hill Suites, but more than that, she's helping chamber members to network. Mm-hmm. To see what they can maybe do. It's like Kristen at Anna Maria's, by hosting this mixer, somebody who hasn't been there is going to see how nice it is, how good the food was, and they're going to go back. So, you know, a good part of doing business is knowing how to do business.
I failed to mention, obviously, the Marriott Spring Hill Suites is downtown. For folks who have not been to Anna Maria's, please, it's a great place to eat. The pasta's terrific. I can personally testify to that. You're located
at 790 East Butler Road in
That's
East
right.
Butler.
You head from City of Butler out Katanning Street, and you blink your eye and you're there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, nice to have you all here today. It's good to see you all. Adriana, Kristen, and Jordan, and Stan, of course. Good to see you.
And now that spring is here, if anybody's out there spring cleaning and they're going through their kids' Halloween costumes that don't fit them anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Bring them down to the chamber. We're open 8:30 to 3:30, Monday through Friday. We're at the Next Year Bank building on the Diamond. And mm-hmm. you can bring those costumes down now because they have started collecting.
They'll be in for the Ghosts for Ghouls thing. A little hard to think about Halloween when it's still
Ghouls
May. But
no, it's not too early to start thinking about Halloween. Not at all.
And that's a great program you have going there. Well, again, thanks for coming in. Good to see you
Dave,
all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Program note, Pirate Baseball is back tonight on WISR. The Pirates were idle yesterday, but they play tonight against the Texas Rangers at PNC Park, and we'll be on the air at 6:40 with Pirate Warm-Up with Greg Brown, Steve Blass, and the whole gang right here on WISR tonight. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Stopped into a church, I passed along.